Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This station is your antidote to popular talk radio. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday morning, July 10, 2008. It's now 6:31 a.m. Central Daylight Time in the good old USA. Folks, it's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. This morning, I invite our listeners to call in 646-652-4620. That's 646-652-4620. Please, let me hear from you. I know it's early in the morning on Thursday. We have five open lines. Any question is on the table. Before we start, I'd like to remind everyone to become educated on economic issues. You know, I harp on this at the beginning of every single program. And I encourage people to subscribe to Andy Sutton's website on mytwocentsonline.com. That's mytwocentsonline.com. And that two is a numeric two. The reason why I say that is because he talks about macroeconomics. In other words, what is going on overall in the economy and how you best can prepare yourself and what you probably should do as a free person. The choices that you make will determine where you wind up during any economic downturn. He also has a paid subscription called The Sensible Investor. I think it's $39 or $49 a year. And he gives specific advice and individual assistance. It's a fantastic bargain. Andy is a registered financial advisor and an economist, by the way. He's got a degree in economics, a master's degree in economics. He's a heck of a nice guy, but he understands what's going on. Now, as you know, this is my sideline. I mean, that's what I study is economics, unfortunately. It's a very depressing subject. And this guy knows his bananas. So please do yourself a favor and do that, and you'll be glad that you did. I would also like to remind our listeners to subscribe to our reminder service by visiting our website and clicking on the subscribe icon. As well, we have now a little a place where you can pinpoint yourself on a map. Yeah, you just click on the icon and say, "This I'm listening from this area," and a little icon shows up. I'm not your picture or your email address or anything like that, but that'll show us where you're calling from. If you do that, we would appreciate that. Well, good morning, everyone. We'll start today's program with a little bit of a story, a little bit of a turn of what I wanted to do originally. And this is very interesting because here is an interesting dilemma. On this program is an educational program, right? We're not going to talk about current issues so much as we're going to talk about current issues and how they relate to our liberty, because this is an educational program. And this is why I'd like for people to call in and ask questions. This is the only way we learn. And when I say we, I mean we, you and I learn. You know, I've belonged to Toastmasters for many years. And the reason why I still go after 25 years is because I learn. It seems that the longer I belong to that organization, the more I learn from others. I become a better listener. I realize that there's so much more than me out there. And I find it very rewarding. At the same time, what I do is I assist others and give them the benefit of my years of experience. If you ever have an opportunity, do go to a Toastmasters meeting. Look them up. They're local in your area. They're all over the world. You'll be glad that you did. It's the best favor that you ever done for yourself. All right. The reason why I want to start off with a subject that I think is fascinating. A couple of nights ago, I was listening to a program, and I don't recall what it was. It may have been the Glenn Beck show or whatever, where I was passing by channel surfing as I normally do, because I don't stick to a channel for more than a few seconds, as most people do. But they were having interesting conversations, so I stopped dead in my tracks. And it was this. Disneyland is, or the Disney company, is not permitting people who have concealed carry weapons, you know, legally carrying weapons and whatever, to keep them in their parking lot while they visit Disneyland. Now, they don't allow them in Disneyland themselves, the guns themselves, but they are not permitting people to bring them in their cars and keep them in their cars while it's parked on a Disney parking lot. Well, this discussion pursued, and it was this. Does Disney have the right to tell people not to bring a gun to a parking lot that may be, by the way, 3 miles away from Disneyland, considering that the only way that people can get there is they have to drive there, and sometimes they have to drive through pretty bad neighborhoods? In other words, what people are saying is that Disney does not have the right to tell people that they cannot protect themselves. They cannot carry a gun. Now, that's an interesting dilemma, because if you have the right to carry a gun, you have the right to carry a gun. Now, let me preface this. First of all, I am a very strong believer in the Second Amendment. And in fact, I have a sign in my studio. It says the Second Amendment, America's original homeland security. And I feel strongly about that. I do have a concealed carry weapon license, which I think is unconstitutional. I should not need one, but I do have one, so I don't want to get in trouble with the law in this place. But I do have one. I do conceal carry very often, most times. I have a federal firearms license. It's a hobby of mine. I'm a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. I am a member of the Gun Owners of Association. You see where I'm going. So I'm not anti-gun. So I want you to know where I'm coming from. I'm very pro-gun. In fact, I'm so pro-gun, I think people should be able to wear it, display it if they want. Don't care. It's your right to protect yourself. If someone's walking down the street and they got a 45, you know, 1911 in their pocket and I can see it, nice gun. What do I care? I mean, that's how ardent I am about this. Now, let's get back to the problem at hand. Now, one side is saying that Disney does not have the right to restrict someone from carrying a gun from their home or from the place of origin to their parking lot by telling them they cannot carry a gun on the, have a gun on the parking lot. Now, the gal was saying, sorry, doesn't hold water. Disneyland, Disney company owns that parking lot, and they can do whatever they want with that parking lot. That's their property. If they don't want people with guns on their property, you know, tough katubi. Now, very interesting, right? And guess which side I'm on. Now, intuitively, you say the woman in this case is absolutely wrong. They have a right to carry a gun. If they can't bring it to the parking lot, they cannot defend themselves from the place of origin to the parking lot. That makes sense. And from my point of view, screw Disney, right? You know, I believe in the right to protect myself and my family. I'm going to carry my gun. Unfortunately, the gal's right. Now, here's where I'm coming from, folks. This is what I mean. I want you to understand the precepts of liberty. The number precept for liberty is this: property rights. If you do not have personal property rights, you have no liberty. I have my property. I own it. Now, I agree to certain stipulations in this property because I live in a subdivision, and if I agree to it, I'm bound by that agreement. But other than that, I have property, and it is my property. Without property rights, you have no freedom. If Disney says, no guns in our parking lot, no guns in their parking lot. Well, now the argument is that this is, well, what about all those people that want to get there and they from place of origin to the parking lot without guns? They have a choice, folks. And this program today got 20 minutes more. We're going to talk about choice. This is choice. And in America, in a free country, you have choice. This is what everyone's missing, including our presidential candidates. I have in my blog, how do the programs proposed by McCain and Obama compare to the preservation of liberties? And the answer is they do not allow us choice. And the choice is this. If I had to make a decision where to go on vacation, and I wanted to conceal carry a weapon in my car, and Disney said, sorry, not on my parking lot, I would go somewhere else. The choice is mine. And if people felt strongly about it, they wouldn't go to Disneyland or Disney World. Now, think of this. Let's assume for a second Disney needs 10,000 people a day to break even. I'm just making this up. I have no idea what the numbers are. And as a result of their edict, they only have 8,800 people show up every day. They do a survey and they find the reason why attendance is down is because people want the right to conceal carry their weapon from point of origin to the parking lot. What do you think Disney would do? In fact, if you'd like to call in and tell me what your answer is 646-652-4620. 646-652-4620. Of course, you can send your comments to me at comments@libertytalkradio.com at any time. All right, what do you think they would do, folks? They would find a way around that. They would say, well, you can conceal carry it, but you can't see it, you know, from the outside, blah, blah, blah. They would overturn it. It becomes now an economic issue because now Disney has the freedom of choice. They have the freedom of choice. And what we are missing in this country is the freedom of choice. Government programs restrict us from the freedom of choice. When the government decides to unilaterally invade another country, bomb the bejesus out of it, and send our men and women there unjustifiably, those soldiers have no choice. They die for reasons unknown. That is not a free nation. That is not a free country. That is not freedom. That is not liberty, folks. But this is what Obama and McCain are perpetrating on us. Of course, Obama wants to get out of Iraq in some sort of systematic manner after he consults with the generals. We're going to wind up with 58 bases in Iraq. We ain't ever getting out. If he tried to take our troops out of Iraq and he was president, that man would get very sick, very fast, very soon. He would be unable to complete his term. The military-industrial complex will not permit that. He knows it, we know it, everyone knows it. It just sounds good. And at the same time, in order to appease the industrial-military complex, he says we must protect Israel. Well, that's another choice. Israel has a choice. The Palestinians have a choice. People have free choices. Let them make them. It has nothing to do with us and our liberty. We seem to have lost the ability to understand freedom of choice. I'd like to give another issue that they bring up from time to time is English as the official language. Let me explain how ridiculous that is. Now, the argument is if you want to have a strong, unified nation, you'd have a common language. True. So what? There are people who live in Chinatown in New York. Many of those people don't speak English. They speak Cantonese or Mandarin or some other form of the Chinese language. In fact, there are dozens of languages spoke in China. And they don't force anyone to speak Mandarin or Cantonese, whichever is the original one. I think it's Mandarin, is the official language. if you travel through China, you'll find that the people, when you get away from the coast, don't look Chinese at all. They look very Western. You go to the north, they look very Mongolian, Polynesian in a way. I mean, you have total different cultures. And they live within one country. That's possible. But my point is this. If a person comes here and wants to speak their native language, they should be free to do so at any time. Now, if a requirement of citizenship is to complete a form and pass a test that's written in English, that person has a freedom of choice. They can elect to learn English enough to pass that test. That is their choice. Then you have to go further and say, well, why do you need a test for citizenship? Think about that for a second. We need a test for citizenship. They have to tell us who the presidents were, what the Constitution says. Why? If this is a free country, it's a free country. That's all you have to know. Why do you need a test for citizenship? You come here and go to work. You make friends. You make acquaintances. And eventually, if you get married and have children, they go to school. And then you have to ask yourself a question. Well, they go to school. Why do they have to go to school? I mean, why not why government schools? Why not the school of the person's choice? Whatever language it may be. Oh, you'd have anarchy. You would? You would have anarchy if you had that? You mean you'd have anarchy if kids went to school and actually learned something? Right now, a school system, I mean, it's horrible. I mean, the kids are just brainwashed. And I like Pat Buchanan, his description of what we teach in school, American history. He calls it comic book history. I love that term. We teach our kids comic book history. I'm dying to see what they say in American history books about the Iraq War. I'm dying to see what they say about Saddam Hussein. It's going to be so colored. It's going to seem as if we did everything right, he did everything wrong, and we had every reason in the world to go there. If we didn't do that, the world would be in peril. Yeah, I want you to think through this. All the issues. Why we have to protect Israel? Israel's a sovereign nation. They want to go to war in Iran? Go! Go, girl, go, as they say. What do we care? They say we have an energy crisis. We have no energy crisis. We have a military consumption crisis. Our military uses as much fuel as most nations in the world. And for what reason? No one knows. To keep the empire going, actually, but we never admit that. You think that's in our history books? And what about poor? They keep on talking about the poor. Well, what about this one? Well, it's not the poor that they're talking about. It's a convoluted tax system that tries to control the behavior of its citizens through its tax structure, which is insane. Does that limit your freedom of choice when you have a tax system that you have to consider before you make a choice? Think about that. These are the precepts of validity that I'm talking about. This is what the candidate should be talking about. You know, most people are poor. I hate to say this, because they elect to be poor. I have friends who are not doing well. I say, geez, have you ever considered doing this, or that? Well, yeah. They don't do anything. They don't do much. They watch a lot of television. Well, because they don't do well, they get more money from the government than I do. Well, isn't that nice? Now, the number of people who are actually poor in this nation because of circumstances well beyond their control is minuscule. And society can handle that. And we want to handle that. And we want to help people. Because those, when you help people like that, you know that's temporary. And you know you're going to help them get on their own 2 feet and go on. It makes them feel good. And they contribute back to society. When government does it, it becomes permanent, and they contribute nothing to society, nothing to themselves, and they feel lousy, and they perpetuate the poverty that they're in to their children and grandchildren and grandchildren. Taking money from other people to perpetuate those situations, is that choice? Is that freedom? No. That's why all of the social democrats are so harmful, so dangerous to any society. And there's no housing crisis. I was biking the other day. Finally, my knee is better, and we went for a nice 20-mile bike ride, beautiful long Lake Keystone. And we passed by a neighborhood. I have to admit, it was pretty poor. You know, we went through this old industrial area. And these houses were in shape. I mean, they were just not very good. You know, the type you look at, you go, God, why don't they just fix a place up a little bit, you know? And there's all sorts of crap in the front yard and broken down cars and rims and, you know what I'm talking about. It's a neighborhood you just want to get out of. I mean, it's depressing to look at. Now, do some of those people do that by choice? Sure. Do they have to live that way? No. I mean, I can make my house look a lot prettier than it is. I don't. I mean, it's acceptable. I mean, presentable. You pass by, you don't give it a second look. There's a lot of things I can do to my house to make it look a lot nicer. I can have azaleas in the front yard and all that. I don't like to do that. I have very plain stuff because I don't want to take care of it. But I make sure it's neat and it's presentable. It doesn't bother anybody. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you. I'm a happy camper. That's a choice. Now, this is where I'm coming from. Some of these people in these homes applied for loans and went from a house that, quite frankly, you wouldn't buy. You would burn down to use the property for some unaltered reason. And they went to a $400,000 home. And now they can't afford it. And now the government wants to give them my money so that they're not evicted from their homes. Folks, it's not their homes. And the reason why they were given that loan is because they knew the government was going to guarantee those loans. They knew they weren't going to lose money no matter what. The government screwed up again. If these people knew, they say, well, how do we fix this mortgage crisis problem? Well, very simple. If the banks give a loan, if they loan money to someone and the person doesn't pay back, the bank takes the loss. Problem solved. Isn't that amazing how I solved that problem immediately? But once you have a safety valve where the federal government becomes a lender of last resort, then you and I pay for it. And you see, all that, all those are choices. But then we don't have a choice when the government takes our money and gives it to someone else because they're afraid they're going to lose their house. People don't lose homes that easily. I mean, it's got to be a catastrophic loss. And banks aren't all that cruel. And they're not that stupid. They don't want the bad PR. They want people to stay in their homes, and they're willing to make arrangements while people work through their hard times. It's that when everyone starts getting greedy, and I say everyone, I mean even the borrower. When someone comes in and says, well, oh yeah, I'd love to have that $400,000 house. I'm not working, you know. The house I'm now living in is worthless, actually, and they should burn it down because it's rat-infested, but I want the $400,000 house, and if I can't pay for it, well, let the government worry about it. That restricts my choice. I don't like that. We should be concerned about that. Jobs are choices. What kind of jobs we have are choices. You know, people say, well, there are not many jobs in the Cleveland area. We've got to do something about Cleveland. No, people should move from Cleveland. They should move from Cleveland. They have a choice. And they should go to Scottsdale, Arizona, where things are booming. That's what we always did as Americans. We migrated. We migrated from the East Coast to the West Coast. And we found our niche in life. It was a lot of work, a lot of hard work. People suffered for that. But they gained by it as well. Not only monetarily, but they gained in character. And we became a strong nation. And people admired Americans. But not anymore. Now we just sit there, we wait for government handouts. That's not a choice. When the government takes my money to give it to somebody else because they refuse to get off their duff and move somewhere and find a better life for their family, I don't want to pay for that. I've moved several times. And I've settled here. I'm perfectly happy with my choice. And there were some choices that I made that I wish I had made, and some that I made that I wish I hadn't made. But that's life. It's not for the government to decide, it's for me to decide. That's my choice. This is what the presidential candidates are not talking about. Who we marry, is that up to the government? Just like I said, you know, why should a person have to fill out a form to become a citizen? Why? So the government knows that they're there. We know they're there. They're right, guys, right in front of me. You want to know that? There's Pasquale. There he is. Pasquale COD. How you doing? There's no need for that. Oh, Homeland Security. No Homeland Security. Pasquale, he sells squash in the labor corner. There's no notion of national security. I mean, let's really get real about this whole thing. I mean, we have just, the government instills enough fear in us so that we do stupid things, restrict our liberty so the government has control over us, and then taxes the bejesus out of us. And that's the end of that. That's end game. Then they give it to the military-industrial complex to build an empire which restricts our liberty more. That's the whole point. That's the game, folks. That's the whole game. If you haven't figured it out yet, I just gave it to you. A guy wants to marry another guy. Marry him. Marry a dog. Why do I care? Oh, my children will be affected. No, your children are not going to be affected. You affect your children more than anything else, and you're probably an idiot. Immigration, my favorite subject. My favorite subject. Just because the government has a restriction as to a number of people from one country to another country, they're considered illegal. If they change that number from 600,000 to 3 million, all of a sudden they're not illegal. Folks, we have to start thinking critically. We have to start thinking liberty. We have to start thinking choice. We have to start thinking freedom. And if we don't understand the true precepts of liberty, the true free precepts of freedom, we cannot make an election as to who should be our president. And right now, there is no one who is running who fits that bill. The closest one is Bob Barr. And I'll be visiting with Bob Barr, by the way, next week on Tuesday. And I do have some questions about his campaign. And I'm going to discuss this with him, because I am concerned about some of the principles that he withholds regarding immigration is one of them. And folks, there is no oil crisis. There is plenty of oil out there if we could only get government regulation out of the way. Remember, we did not leave the Stone Age because of the lack of stones. And we will not leave the oil age because of a lack of oil. Get the government out of the way, and we'll make that natural transition without any hardship. And technology will bring us to a better and brighter place. Okay? Now, this is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Ikez Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments@libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you're either allowing your liberties to be taken away, or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. Yeah, and as Ron Paul has on his desk, a little sign on his desk, and it says, "Don't steal, the government hates competition." Until next time, and that'll be Sunday evening, 8 p.m., I have an interview. Please look at my blog, and you'll get all the details on that. That'll be Sunday evening. Please listen in and call in. I'll see you then. Until then, stay well and stay tuned.